Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I don't like a quote. I don't like a quote that I just saw from Cashman. And you know what it pertains to.
Tell me.
The Yankees shortstop battle he was just asked about.
And?
I'm going to read you the quote, and then you could interpret.
I love IKF. IKF such a utility.
There's no names. There's no actual names used. It's all broader. But as I piece by piece take this apart, like I did during the break, I don't like it. Quote, "We'll make a decision when we have to in the very end." Well, that's stating the obvious.
Of course.
"We've had a good camp, a lot of good things to see. But we still have time on the clock to make the final call."
Oh, you have two games?
That's what worries me. Not about good camp. Yep. Decision. Yep. Okay. "We have time on the clock to still make the final call." So that means to me, this my interpretation of that is that they are looking for reasons to send Volpe down rather than to have him be on the opening day roster. Because when you say, "We've got time on the clock to make the final call," you are almost implying that an unexpected turn, either Volpe going south or, say, Peraza mashing, whatever, is going to impact the final decision. The final decision should be made. It should be made from minute one. Volpe looks the part. Pop, power, poise, instincts, the man. What do you think you'll see over the next couple? The season starts a week from tomorrow. Now, maybe internally, I'll give Brian the benefit of the doubt here. Maybe internally, they've already come to their answer.
Yeah.
And they're just not ready to share it. That's fine. But if they are waiting on a game or two or a handful of at-bats to determine who's starting the shortstop, that bothers me beyond belief.
Well,
because Volpe's been great. Perhaps
they are waiting on a decision at second as well with Gleyber. But Gleyber's had a really good camp. He's batting .313, OPS of almost 900.
Good time to trade him.
I mean, maybe.
And maybe that's what Cashman's alluding to.
Maybe that's what he's alluding to. You're right. But as far as the shortstop competition, it's not even close.
Peraza's been okay.
He's been really
good.
Volpe's
been great.
He's been really good. Volpe's been outstanding. 39 at bats. He's hitting .308, over 1,000 OPS, two home runs, 12.
Five steals.
12 hits, which is almost double IKF, who is second on the hit calculator.
How many walks? That I don't know. Six, seven?
Eight.
Eight and what, 10 or 11 whiffs?
Eight walks, 11 strikeouts.
All right, I mean, almost not quite one-to-one ratio, obviously.
Five,
but
five stolen bases.
Terrible.
Yeah, he's just, like, statistically, it's check, 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 check.
And the most important check, just watch him play, the eyes.
Yeah.
You don't need stats.
They're just trying to.
The stats support what your eyes tell you.
This could be positioning or delay tactic as they try to figure out the other positions. Like what's Peraza's role going to be? And what's IKF's role going to be? Do we trade potentially Gleyber Torres? Like, maybe this is just, don't talk to me yet because I'm not ready to give you an answer because we're still not really making decisions, but deciding how to handle the decisions that we've already made.
Quote, "We have time on the clock to make the final call," end quote. Literally, he's right.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess my contention is the final call should have already been
how
made.
How disappointed will you be if Volpe's not on the
as disappointed in any non-game result from if he doesn't make the team? More so than than anything that I can recall off the top of my head in maybe 20 years.
Do you think all Yankee fans will feel the same?
100%. Mm-hmm. I speak for every Yankee fan in unison. There's not a Yankee fan alive that knows a damn thing about baseball or wants good things for this team that actually has the opinion, unless you're just a born contrarian, that Volpe has not earned the right to be the star. He has earned the right. Anthony Volpe has earned the right. He better be playing shortstop, boy. I'm okay if he's playing second as well. He better be playing somewhere on opening day.
Now,
he better be.
He's not currently on the
40-man. He's not on the 40-man roster.
And so that's maybe the delay.
That's what I'm saying.
Let's figure this out.
All right, some clerical work. That's fine, Cash. Go take care
of
it.
We're sending you down.
That's
Florial
cool.
Or whoever else.
Florial's out of options. He's never going to be the answer. He can't play. He can't play. He's not even in the realm of conversation to be an answer. He just can't play.
But he's on the 40-man.
I understand.
That's my point.
No, I got you.
So I'm saying, all right, let's just cut bait and open up a spot.
Yeah. No, TQ, you asked me, you know, how disappointed would I be? You know, outside of, again, non-game stuff, like losing a certain game or I don't even know what's comparable because I didn't know as much. We didn't, but we didn't know as much about Jeter. We knew he was drafted top 10.
Yeah, we didn't see it.
Yeah, that's my point. We knew he made 53 errors at Greensboro. If you read Baseball America, which I did, I used to have it delivered to the house.
And then if you just watched the Jeter special, they talked about it.
Of course they did.
I mean, if you didn't follow the Yankees back then, like pre-Jeter and pre, you know, championships, I didn't know that Jeter was that bad as a minor leaguer. I had no idea.
Yeah, I did. It wasn't as top of mind, but I don't know that everybody did, but yeah. I used to inhale Baseball America.
My point is, I came to New York after he was already.
Oh, right? I know what you're saying.
So all I know is Jeter was there's the captain.
That's right.
Amazing.
He came the year
right.
after. He was already champion.
All those crazy, exactly.
And rookie of the year.
Yep. All these crazy things he does with the mitt and clutch home runs and things of that nature. 3,000, all that stuff. That's all I knew. I didn't realize he struggled.
Well, the other thing too, it wasn't chronicled. I mean, yes, it was in newspapers like the Baseball American, Baseball Weekly, and stuff. But it wasn't captured in video form. So. Mm-hmm. Even though he had literally, I think it was 53, whatever, 52, 53 errors, and you may have known that, which some of us did back then, you didn't see it.
Yeah.
So it wasn't seared into your mind. Imagine if Volpe had 13 errors this spring.
That's right.
It'd be like, this guy sucks. Get rid of him. Stinks.
That's true.
You know? 877-337-6666. Let's get back to you. How about Alex in East Quogue? He's a big Knicks fan. What's up, Al? How you doing today?
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
What's happening?
Hey, Alex.
I want to jump back to Willis. A couple of personal observations. First of all, I'm old enough, but also my hometown small neighborhood in Queens where I grew up.
Yep.
During the championship era, Willis actually rented an apartment and lived there for a couple of years. So did Kazzy Russell, by the way. But whereas Kazzy was really taciturn, anytime we swarmed Willis when he was on the streets, he was the sweetest, most lovable guy. He was great with kids. You never called him Willis. You always called him Cap. And he earned that too. But I want to make a couple other points about him.
Good.
I've always felt, in my opinion, he's the greatest Knick of all time. As phenomenal as Patrick Ewing was, and also I could make the case for Clyde. If you ask Clyde privately, he'll tell you it's Willis. Willis starred in an era where there were so many less teams and less middling talents. He went night after night. And by the way, even the Post today listened to 6'10". He was never 6'10". He was closer to 6'8". Every night he went against guys in an era where there were so many less teams. He went against Russell, Wilt, Unseld, Young Alcindor, Nate Thurmond, Dave Cowan, Selma Bates, Jerry Lucas, Bob Lanier. This was every night. He was such an amazing talent, and I also think he's the greatest New York sports leader we ever had, just a little ahead of Messier because he was homegrown. The other thing I want to mention is I was 9 years old when I watched the Lakers game, that fight in 1966. I watched it on TV.
Oh wow!
And I want to give you a little bit of trivia about that.
Okay.
Two quick points, and I appreciate it. When you watch this, and everyone who's a Knick fan, you've got to go find this. It was first on ESPN's 30 for 30. They found it a couple of years ago.
Okay.
You can find it on YouTube. When you watch it, when the fight first starts, one of the Lakers grabs him from behind And in a split second, he just turns around and pops that guy. And he told his teammates later, and this is a famous story about him, don't ever, ever hold me back in a fight because I'll hit you. And this happened because in college at Grambling, there was a fight between Grambling and somebody else, and somebody held him and he got hit.
Oh, wow.
So he warned his own teammates, don't ever hold me. And the second last point I want to make is when you watch this amazing video and he wades into the entire L.A. bench, if you look to the right, there's a little Nick Guard who comes flying in like Superman. I mean, he's actually horizontal to the floor to join Willis. And that little guard was Emmett Bryant, who was a backup on the Knicks back in the 60s, who then got traded to the Celtics and won a couple of rings with them. Just a little trivia there.
I
loved Willis Reed. I mourn with everybody else because he was a part of my childhood, too. I was old enough to really get into the Knicks during the era. Oh, and last point, everybody says Dave DeBuscher, the trade turned around the Knicks.
Yeah.
Well, it did for two reasons. It brought Dave DeBuscher, but they traded Walt Bellamy. And Willis Reed was playing power forward for the Knicks at the time, and he always said, I'm a better center. So they opened up center by bringing in DeBuscher and getting rid of Walt Bellamy, and that just obviously turned the whole team around. But to me, Willis Reed was the greatest Knick of all time. Thanks, guys.
That's awesome. You know, and the thing about certain players that you and I just didn't see, you know, that's where I really cherish and value the opinions of stories of people who did see him play. Mm-hmm. You know, we can get on the air and we can show our respect.
Yeah, we didn't see it in real time.
We did. Never saw him play a second.
Well, so we don't grab the emotion. It doesn't sit with us, the emotion.
Yeah.
Like we can talk about it intellectually,
mm-hmm.
but emotionally, you can't feel it.
No, at his point about the big men back in the day, I mean, there were far fewer teams. Think about this. The Raptors weren't around. The Miami Heat weren't around. The Hornets weren't around. The ABA, obviously, like the Pacers weren't there yet. Mm-hmm. The Nets were in the ABA. The Denver Nuggets were in the ABA. I mean, it was just, it was condensed. It was a deep concentration of fewer teams and great players who didn't bounce college after a year. They played for 4 years. They came and they were polished and they were men. I mean, some of those guys down low that he was banging bodies with, some of the best bangers in the history of the game, no doubt. 877-337-6666. Let me get Doug in Morristown. Doug, what's happening, bud? You're on Tiki and Tierney. How are you?
Hi. I just wanted to give you my observation. I'm 70, so I actually saw the Knicks play. The thing that was so unusual about that team, and I don't know if we'll ever see it again, all five starters were incredible shooters. So it wasn't just that they passed the ball around until someone was open. You never see today more than two good shooters on a team. And Willis was a great shooter. And just one other observation. I went to the first game that Bill Bradley played after he came back from being a Rhodes Scholar.
Okay.
And I never heard a stadium that loud in my entire life, because when they didn't play him right away, and I'll never forget, they went to the end of the bench to get him to start the second quarter. He comes in, he scores 8 points, and then the crowd just literally went crazy. Because remember, there was so much hype about him, and we were waiting 2 years for him to play for the team. The other thing I wanted to make a point of guys, about this thing about Volpe, was that I think that he's just positioning himself, Cashman, to trade Gleyber Torres. I just want to tip his hat too quickly. Yeah. I don't see how he could not play Volpe and Peraza.
Well, it's two things here, Doug. Thanks for the call. Appreciate the Willis Reed memory as well. If you're not, and I wouldn't say it's split. I think that there's more Yankee fans who are willing to part with Torres than aren't. I don't mean 90-10.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more 60-40. So,
the return's got to be...
No, it does. I mean, it's going to be decent because he's a decent player. But to me, it's about two items here. Opening up space for the kids, but as importantly, you're not giving him a big-time contract.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not.
Yeah.
You're not going to give him 7 years, $147 million. Well, I'm just throwing crazy numbers out, whatever. But eventually, he's going to have to get paid. Eventually, arbitration ends. He's been around for a while.
Yeah.
He's going to get paid,
and
the Yankees ain't going to be the ones paying him.
And
so get rid of him.
He probably missed the opportunity to be that guy that's going to be one of those players that gets paid. He's arb. 3 right now. So he's a free agent in next year.
Yeah.
Or 2 years. 2 years.
No, no, 2025 or 2024?
25.
Okay. So that's where there's value because whomever you trade him to, you don't. They don't have to pay him right away.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's a team like the Twins who are trying to piece something, I'm just throwing teams out,
yeah.
trying to piece something together, Correa, a couple other players.
And again,
or
he's young.
A young team like the Orioles. I don't know.
He's
young.
He's not old. He's 26 years old.
Yeah. He feels older than that, though.
He does, because he feels like he's been around forever.
Yeah, but I think his body, he's in good shape, but I don't know that he's going to age great.
Hmm.
A little thick. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't know. And he's just too streaky for me. He goes a month where you don't hear his name. He's invisible. You know, you can't do that if you're going to be... Well, you have his stats in front of you? I'm sure you do, because you're looking at the ARB3 stuff, right? Yeah. You got the numbers. What? Give me his... For the year that he had, 38 bombs?
Yeah, so that was 2019.
Yep, and how old was he, 22?
He was 22 that year. So 38 bombs.
Okay.
90 RBIs.
What was his OPS?
His OPS was 872, which was the peak. It's his peak.
Yes. And that was also 14 home runs against the Orioles' AAA pitching staff.
Yeah,
it really is.
And a shorter left field.
Bandbox. But still, 38's 38.
It is what it is. But it's a shorter left field. It is. I mean, that's just a fact. They moved it back because of the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Subsequent to that, BT, 724 OPS.
Yep.
697. That was 21.
Yeah.
And then,
that was also a short season, but yeah, not good. Now we're going direction.
And then 2022, last year, it was 761.
Yeah, and there were points where he was like high sixes, low sevens, where he was like wavering, and then he'd get hot, and then he'd get cold, and it was up and down. He's just too erratic. When he first came up, I actually thought, I know I'm not alone here, I thought that Gleyber Torres was going to be the Yankees' number 3 hitter. Like, I actually thought that. Like, when he first flashed, I'm like, woo. This kid he's got oppo power. He can obviously pull his hands in and pull it to left field. Line drives, but he's got enough lift, and he's going to be a pretty decent, not 330, but he's not going to be a 250 hitter. He's going to hit 290, 302 with pop. He never got better. He really didn't. Lou's in the story. What's happening, Lou? How are you today?
Hey, how you guys are doing?
What's up, Lou?
Listen, about that guy that called about Willis Reed, he's 100%. I'm with him. I watch him play. I never forget the time that he was hurt and he was in the locker room. And he came back, came out limping, almost with one leg, and took Chamberlain to school. It's amazing.
Well, he didn't take him to school. He only had 2 jump shots that game. But.
No, but it doesn't matter. But he got him. I mean, he stopped Chamberlain on his track. Okay, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, when he came in here, if he wasn't there, we would have lost that game.
I got you.
But anyway... by the way, Trey Turner, he should have been a Yankees if we have a good GM, but let me go to WBC. The reason why I like WBC is because it was baseball. It's the baseball that I grew up to see. It was bunting. It was contact. It was pitching. It was everything you wanted to see in the game, okay? And I tell you what, can I be played after the World Series? Because pitchers and everybody else, can you imagine a starting pitcher 200 innings and he's going
to
pitch?
No, he's not going to want to. There's no chance.
It makes no sense. It's not going to work.
Yeah, they want to be on a beach.
Right now. Yeah, it's fine the way it is right now, and it's going to stay. Now, BT is going to laugh at me. His father is going to put on Twitter. If he retires right now, okay, Shohei Ohtani will be a Hall of Famer, okay?
Mm-hmm. I'm not laughing at you.
Okay? I mean, you know what? I'm just saying right now, that's how great this guy is, okay?
Yeah.
And I predicted that he was going to pitch to Trout, okay, on the Keith show at night. You can call him up and find out. I told him exactly what's going to happen.
Okay.
And it happened. If I was a gambling man, I'd make a lot of money. I'll tell you
that
right now.
You should have put some money on that one. Did you also predict he's going to strike him out with an 87-mile-hour slider after throwing 300-yard?
Just go kick. Just go kick. You don't believe me.
Lou's bringing receipts. He's saying check with Keith. See what's going on tonight.
I'm telling you, man.
I believe you, Lou.
No, actually, what happened was that, you know, I couldn't sleep right now, really, because I'm retired now. I go to bed real early now. But I called him off because I was watching the games, you know?
Okay.
So, but it's got to stay. Let me tell you something. Fundamental baseball, it's what I want. The shift didn't work because these guys that made contact, they hit the ball with his pitch, okay? It was beautiful. And the reason, I don't want to hear no excuse that the United States didn't have pitching. You lost the last game 3-2.
Yeah.
You couldn't freaking hit, just like our freaking Yankees.
Yeah. I hear you.
Doing it in the playoffs.
I hear you, Lou.
Okay?
Yeah,
and by the
right.
way, tell Big Ed there, my man Big Ed, that Ohtani is going to be a Met. And I want to, even though I'm a Yankee fan, I'm paying for the ticket to go with him to see the game. You take care.
Well, tell him. We'll let Zoo know. Maybe you guys could sit out in that club in right field. Get after it.
No.
You know,
you got 25 to spare on that?
25 G's. That's what it is, 25,000.
Yeah, something light.
A seat. Not two.
Mm-hmm.
You're going by yourself, or you spend a 50.
And I heard they're only doing like 20 people get memberships.
Yeah, 20.
But it seats like 100.
I don't know what's going on in that club there. I don't know. There might be some other stuff going on. You got to go by yourself.
Speakeasy.
It's a speakeasy for 100 people, but only 20 can come in at a time.
Speakeasy with the wheezy. You know, the talk about the WBC with the bunting and kind of going throwing things back. I can't find it because it's too far deep in my WhatsApp chain with a couple guys I coach with, my buddies. But I remember seeing something over the winter. A bunch of Twitter handles I follow, like baseball merit, not baseball, Division One, Diamond Nation, all these ones that I really enjoy. And there was a stat last year, but I don't remember the exact numbers, but it was something along the lines of last year in Division One baseball, on attempted bunts, the collective batting average was .581, and it was like well over 500 attempts.
Mm.
And it's like, okay, so if you can just do that, why wouldn't you do that more?
I would.
Don't know.
If I was a baseball player, I would.
We're teaching bunting. I've told you that. I know it's not cool. It's not fun. But you know what's cool and fun? If you got some wheels and you're on first base because you hit one 9 feet and you steal second and third, that's pretty cool.
It's better than a .310 on base percentage.
See, you mean rather not be Hicks, is what you're saying.
Yeah, that was Glaber.
that was Glaber's numbers there.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We're Tinky Godot. Go to the bathroom again?
I didn't follow him.
That's good. That's encouraging to know. All right, let's bang out a pick here, make you a little scratch before we keep it moving here on the show. The Tiki and Tierney Daily Pick, brought to you by Superbook Sports. Better odds, favorable prices by my good friends at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely, choose Ramsey Mazda, and by Flag and Anthem. Real close, real life. Visit flagandanthem.com. So we hit you with a winner last night. We gave you a little Mets Cavaliers over. That was relatively smooth sailing. Check, the over was, I think it was 218.5. They scored 224. So that kind of blew by it. Tonight, I'm going to give you another over-under. We're going to go with the over. The Denver Nuggets are at the Washington Wizards. The over-under is 228. Let's roll with the over. 228 over. Nuggets at the Wizards. The Wizards. All right, 130 on the Fan, Tiki and Tierney until 2. Carter Roberts coming up next. So 1 week from tomorrow, we will be in the Bronx. And we'll be watching. Let me check the advanced weather forecast. You know, I'm a grass snob and a weather snob. I'm not snobby about much, but I am definitely a weather snob.
That'd be nice-ish. Low 50s. Not nice for baseball, but it'd be nice-ish.
I'm convinced that nobody checks the weather as much as I do. Honestly. And it went from, you know, when the kids were, and way before kids, like when the kids were, you know, babies, and we weren't even on any teams or no activities to, let me check the weather so see how deep into the fall season daddy can play golf.
Wow.
To now, let's see how deep into the fall we can keep them on the baseball diamond. And then conversely, how early we could get them on the diamond in March, or maybe you get a late February day. It's funny how that changes. All right. So the 10-day forecast is, it's going to be partly sunny and 53 degrees. Fine. Nominal wind. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And it was snowing at the Yankees opener back in 96. So, you know, the way they do this, it says partly cloudy. I elected to say partly sunny. But if you're going to say that it's partly cloudy, why wouldn't you just say that it's partly sunny?
Because it's probably more cloudy than it is sunny.
Well, how do you know? That's quite the leap of faith on you.
I don't know that.
Well, then why not just be positive?
Because they're being pessimistic.
But I'm saying they always do that. They never say partly sunny. It's either mostly sunny, partly cloudy, showers, scattered showers, precipitation, snow. Like, just say partly sunny.
Because that doesn't make
sense. It's more uplifting. Sure it does. It means the sun's going to be partly out. You mean it doesn't make sense?
It's partly sunny.
Yeah.
You want to say sunny.
But it's only partly sunny.
Yeah, but if the sun is out and it's impacting the weather because it's heating the air,
yeah,
then it's sunny.
Yeah.
If it's not heating the air because there's too many clouds and it's intermittently not sunny, you say partly cloudy.
Well, I guess I'm challenging that. I'm here to overhaul the
I have
the weather system.
You, BT. The sun is there all the time.
I know that.
The only time
it's always sunny.
The clouds are blocking it. So therefore,
there you
it's
go.
Partly cloudy. Therefore, the sun's not always seen.
Ah, that's actually the perfect way to explain that, Dove. I got to give you a clap for that one. You get a golf clap for that.
No, you get the clap.
Yeah, you almost got the boot for missing up on the Yankee contest earlier. Forgot about that, huh? The only thing that you really had to pay attention to today, you forgot about. But you're good with the weather. All right, Dove. What's your comeback on that?
Do you know the last time the Yankees starting shortstop was a rookie?
The last time the Yankee... My buddy texted me this the other day, and I was so busy... And I didn't get back to him. All right, so Jeter was 96, obviously, out of Jacobs Field. Rizzuto was it Jeets?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
They won the Jeets' first year, World Series.
Terrific.
Let's do it.
You still forgot about the contest. Don't try to distract me here. I'm better than that.
Nobody would notice it if you had said anything.
But good answer on the clouds of the sun. That makes sense. I got you. Let's get. Oh, there had to be one. You know, I think this is the first dissenting view of the WBC. Mike is in southbound, I believe it's a southbound Brooklyn. Mike, what's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. How's it going, man?
What's
good,
up, man?
Mike. How you doing today?
Hey, yeah, southbound Brook, actually. And
it was cut off on my screen.
Got what's up, man?
Yeah, all good. All good.
Yeah.
Thanks for the great years with the Giants. You're my favorite all-time Giants running back.
I appreciate that, man. That. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you,
awesome.
Sir.
Awesome. So, yeah, you know what WBC stands for in real life?
What is it?
Is
won't
it the
be
worthless?
Closing.
What do you
won't
say?
Won't be closing.
Oh, man.
Okay?
Yeah.
Won't be closing. That's what it means.
Okay.
Okay. Why isn't it in these guys' contracts that they can't do that, something like that? You know, now our season could be, you know, ruined. You know, the Diaz, he's so nasty. He had such a great year.
Yep.
And he finally got comfortable in New York. And now, you know, I mean, it's not going to be nearly as exciting to watch the Mets. You know, they could end up being a tough team to watch because of this. Somebody giving up a home run in the ninth or whatever. You know, I mean, I don't think they should not play in that
at
all.
Yeah, but if you weren't a Mets fan, would you feel the same way?
Well, I probably would because, you know, you got Altuve got injured, Diaz got injured. I mean, you know, I think about the fans of the other teams that where guys got injured. How do they feel? You know?
Yeah, I hear you, but I mean,
yeah, but we don't care about that.
Yeah,
let's
the Astros just won a World Series. So
well,
like, do we care about them?
I don't mean the players. We don't care about the other fans. Whatever, we care about our teams.
I understand that.
Know.
Yeah, but now you know, look what happened. This sucks,
Mike. I get it, and I'm surprised it took this long to get that. Jeez, everybody's been waxing poetic about the WBC, and
that's because everybody likes it.
Well,
I mean,
it was not everybody.
Well, I mean, it was.
Gio doesn't like it. Boomer doesn't like it. Mm. Sal doesn't like it. Most of the guys with Carton definitely doesn't care about it. Who likes it at the station? Besides us, I don't know Keith's opinion on it. You know, I mean, most of the people who do shows here regularly don't like it.
It's not that I don't like it. It's more just ambivalent towards it. And because it was interesting.
I think that's what Boomer and, I think that that's the opinion of, I think that's where they were going. Like,
yeah.
Boomer's watching the Rangers. I get it.
I don't have
He's a crazy Rangers
I don't have
fan.
A negative opinion on it. It just kind of is.
Yes. And, but if it was a Yankee who went down like Diaz, I admit, I would have a totally different opinion.
Depends on who it was.
No, well, yeah, I mean, yeah, not to sound callous, like if it was somebody we didn't really
being
need.
Serious.
I hear you. I don't disagree. Listen, let's not pretend we're anything other than what we are. Intensely driven to watch our teams and very territorial with our players mm-hmm. and our teams. That's what we care about. If we're not adversely affected, we don't care. If something ruins our team or deeply impacts our team, we go nuts. And that's fine. That's the way it should be. That's the way it's always going to be. So don't front. Don't pretend. You know what? Met fans, you should be pissed off. Honestly, the aura of your team is gone. Not that you can't be good, but the trumpets and the outfield fence swing it open. And Diaz trotting it. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to miss it. I kind of like the trumpets.
Well, I mean, the way that SNY covered it, it was just awesome.
Yes.
Because they stopped going to commercial. They were like, you're going to see this whole thing.
Yeah,
until
that's
he
true.
Starts throwing warm-up pitches.
Oh, man. And that's gone. And I'm sorry, Trey Turner hitting 5 home runs or Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout's matchup last night, which was epic, historically speaking. It's so cool because they're teammates, mm-hmm. not to mention the best player on the planet right now in Ohtani and Trout, one of the best players of all time, even if they were on different major league teams. That is going to do nothing to soothe your baseball soul in July when whomever throws up a 3-spot in the last inning and you lose 5-4 to the Phillies.
Yeah, good point.
You're not going to care about the WBC.
Kind of would have rather had Trey Turner at the plate than Mike Trout.
Trey Turner. How does he generate that power? He is not.
He's not big
at
all.
Big at all.
Doesn't look like a baseball player. Just kind of look like a dude. He goes out on the field and he's epic. He's amazing.
He's got a great thing. Now, listen, this is just the main premise of hitting anyway, but like when... You know, and I think you remember this from when AJ was playing. When you get ready to hit and your hands come back, it's called the load, right? Okay, so you know about the load, right? The load is, and then the load is followed by, obviously, the front foot coming forward on the ball of your foot,
mm-hmm.
and then your back leg driving down, your front leg getting firm, and then it's, you know, your back shoulder connected to your hip, creating force, torque, and explosion, right? But the whole concept of hitting, think of a rubber band.
Mm-hmm.
And you stretch it to its limits, and then, boop, you just let go, and bang, what happens, right? That's the baseball swing. As your hands are coming back and your legs going forward, you're creating the same thing that a rubber band's creating from a physics point of view. But I saw something, I don't know where it was this morning, on Trey Turner and his process of creating that explosion. And it's even more than the average, which is where he gets that power. So I'm answering my own question in a roundabout way without being, you know, physically... overpowering, but man, he is just a great player.
No.
Teek, are you excited for the baseball season, Teek?
I mean, excited as you can be for a baseball season.
That's not going to cut it. Teek, are you excited for the baseball season,
not
Teek?
Not as excited as you are. It's baseball. There's 162 of them.
Yeah, but there's only one opening day.
That's true, but I don't look at opening day like you look at opening day. I didn't grow up with opening days.
Yeah.
We didn't do it in Southwest Virginia.
Yeah, I understand.
Maybe we caught the Braves when we got home from school. Maybe.
Yeah, Glenn Hubbard's third at bat.
Exactly. Dale Murphy and Otis Nixon.
Otis Nixon.
Old ass.
Oh, man, he looked oof.
Even though he was young, he looked old.
He did. He had Bob Horner over at third base.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Chambliss playing first base at that point after his Yankee tenure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if it was the early 80s, Joe Torre was the manager for a couple years in Atlanta.
No, I wasn't that into it in the early 80s.
I think he won 13 straight.
I was still a baby. I was 7.
All right, so what? Seven I was watching baby. You know, wait, but first of all, you're not a baby when you're 7.
Well, relatively speaking.
No, you're not.
Yeah.
No,
my
you're kid, not.
My 6-year-old's still a baby. My 7-year-old's still a baby. She's still my baby.
Well, that's different. That they're girls.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, like AJ was girls. My baby for a long time when he would snuggle on me.
What age do you think, like with your boys, did you say... Oh, they don't feel like babies anymore.
I don't know. It was hard because I went through a divorce when they were at that age. So it was tough.
I got you. That's right.
So it was different.
Okay.
Boys are different.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Girls, they're babies forever. They're our babies forever.
Yeah. Well, they just got independent really quickly.
The girls.
The boys.
Oh, the boys.
The boys. Because we were going through a divorce.
Yeah.
So they grew up really quickly.
I got you. Different circumstances.
It was just different.
I got you. All right. Let's get... How about Jeff in Oceanside? This is something we hit before. Jeff, what's happening, buddy? How are you doing today?
Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Jeff?
I'll save you the Nets talk this time because can't go there. But with the Mets, listen, I don't have 25K to lay out,
yeah.
But on a per game basis, it's actually a good deal. I mean, it's $300 per game.
Yeah,
with
it's
all
true.
Beer, soda, food, and parking, and a ticket.
That's true.
So on a it sounds crazy. Perception becomes reality. But on a per game basis, it's actually a good deal.
Yeah,
the
problem is you can't
deal.
Take anybody. That's the challenge, Jeff.
Well, no, there's some guests you can. You do. You have the opportunity to bring guests. That's why they're selling 30 memberships in a 100 seat area.
So they didn't explain it that way on the article that I read, but that actually didn't make sense. So how much does each guest cost?
They said the guest cost would depend on the opponent.
Hmm.
Okay. So you got a little fluctuating, rolling price point, which is fine. That's
right.
Okay.
So, yeah. Listen, if I were to check with $25,000 to the Mets, I'd be divorced. And I'd be writing a check to a lawyer. But
for some people, you can see how it makes sense.
But you'd have a
they
good
can write
seat.
It off. It's a business expense. Hey, we're going to go watch a speak. We're going to go to a speakeasy and go to the baseball game.
Exactly. Now, do my Nets have any chance of winning a playoff round? What do you think, guys?
The Nets, do they have a chance?
No.
I mean,
chance. I guess anything.
They have talent.
No, I don't.
They have a good coach. They have talent, but I can't see it.
They have talent, guys.
I know.
Not the verb of talent.
I know.
They have real players. I mean, no superstars, but they do have real players.
So, but they're likely to be a Philly, right?
Yeah, right now it'd be 3-6. Although Philly could actually be the two. No. It's not. Philly did jump Boston. So right now they play Boston.
No, I think Boston jumped back because they
did. They jump back when?
Because they have two. Philly has two games in hand.
Got it.
So they're two games. They played two less. Than Boston. I don't know how that's working out.
But point being, it's not resolved yet. They could play the Sixers. They could play Boston.
There's
they
a good
play...
shot. There's a good chance that Philly could be the two seed, so they could play Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, the Knicks aren't going to drop far enough for the Nets. I don't think they're 2.5 up on the Nets. Yeah, tonight's game in Miami is pretty big. You know, mm-hmm. You want to see how. I know I'm kind of bringing this back to the Knicks, but it impacts possibly who the Nets could play. That's why I'm kind of weaving it all in here. You know, that game the other night bothered a lot of Knicks fans. It really bothered. One of the most bothered games. Well, it's not even most bothered. It doesn't make any sense. Like, what that game bothered me among the most. Why is this? The words are not coming out freely on this particular note. But you know what I mean.
I know exactly
that
what you're
game
saying.
Pissed me off.
Yeah.
And
that's why, because you didn't say it emotionally enough.
True. And I expect them to bounce back quickly, but if they don't, you know, one game can become two. Mm-hmm. One thing we know about these Knicks, yes, they were more streaky during the beginning of the season before Hart came here and the rotation was changed with Reddish was still here, all those moving parts. But the Knicks are still prone to losing a couple of games in a row.
Yeah.
And I want to see them get back. And if they don't, then the Nets could hop them.
That's my point. Well, not like the Nets, who have lost four games in a row and have the Cavaliers again. When is that? Thursday of the Cavaliers again
home
tomorrow.
And home.
Yep, home and home. Then they do the same thing that the Knicks are doing right now, which is Miami and in Orlando. Now, Orlando's not the challenge, but still, you got to go down to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And then they finish up with the Hawks and no, the Rockets, the Hawks, the Jazz, Timberwolves, Pistons, Magic, 76ers.
I saw Karl Anthony Towns is on his way back, so they'll play a T-Wolves team with him.
Yep.
I don't know about Edwards' situation. I mean, yeah, I don't know. But Karl Anthony Towns is coming back by then. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Playoffs are going to be fun. You know,
they're
really
going to make the playoffs.
Nets.
That's all you need to care about. The Nets, after KD and Kyrie left, that they would just fall the way down to the bottom, they actually hung tough.
Yeah.
They're just going through a little bit of a rough patch over the last four games or so.
That is true. Let's get Georgie in Winter Park, Florida. He's got us up on the free Odyssey app. Hello, George. What's happening, buddy?
Thank you, buddy. Listen, I've been a Yankee fan since 44.
Wow.
And I like to talk about a little nostalgia about the Knicks, a little that you guys probably don't even know.
Yes,
but
sir.
I went to the game yesterday. As far as Volpe, everything, in my opinion, has hinged on Hicks and Donaldson. And Cashman just cannot let them go. And that's why, is Volpe going to be there or it's not? You talk to the fans. I was at the game yesterday.
Yep.
That's where I live with. And you talk to the fans, they'll tell you the same thing. It's just Cashman just won't let go. Now, could I just talk about the Knicks for a little bit?
Yeah, Georgie, go ahead. Absolutely. By the way, you're right, George. You could just say it, my man. He's stubborn. Just say it. Cashman's stubborn. Say it.
Yeah, he is stubborn. Back in 1952-53, the Knicks won the Eastern Championship.
Okay.
We had Gallatin and Sweetwater Clifton and Carl Braun, and we needed one guy like him to close the gap to really do it. Sherman White, LIU, All-American, 6'8", everything we wanted. He was coming to the Knicks because the Knicks, that time they drafted locally, it was called. And he gets caught in this scandal of 52, 53. That's what killed basketball.
Was that the CCNY one?
Right.
Yeah.
CCNY was so good.
I know.
That they beat, the funny thing is, they beat Kentucky, who was a racist team coming in. CCNY shaved points, and they were the only team ever to win. At that time, you could play in two tournaments.
Yeah.
They were the only team in history to win the NCAA and the NIT, period.
Yeah, that's because Rupp wouldn't shake their hands, and he pissed them off.
Yep.
They were supposed to throw game or at least keep it closer, and they blew them out.
One more thing with Randall. The only thing I have against him, I get nervous when he handles the ball down in the last 3-4 minutes of a game. He did have 2 or 3 turnovers in that game that he scored 52, and he lost his call. You can't do that. You can't give technical fouls when you're playing a close game like that. Thanks for taking my call.
Oh, hold on, George. Hold on, sir. Don't hang up, sir. So you said, you're welcome, by the way, but you said you became a Yankee fan in 44. How old were you in 44?
Let me see. I was born in 35. I was 9 years old.
Okay. Okay.
My brother was older. Took me to the first Yankee. I'm 88 now.
God bless
you.
Took
me to the first Yankee game. And thank God I saw them win more World Series. I saw Mantle. DiMaggio was my hero. I saw Mantle, Williams, all the great.
Yeah.
I was at the golden age of baseball.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Who's your all-time favorite Yankee? But I think you answered it with Joe DiMaggio.
Oh, we love DiMaggio.
I got gotcha.
You. Fans.
Oh, well, Italian and Georgie.
There's even songs named after him.
Jolting Joe DiMaggio.
Where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio?
Yeah, Jolting Joe. I have that CD.
Everybody loved Mantle, but Joe hitting the ballpark where center field was 500 feet and left center was 420 feet. You know, and then he served 3 years in the Army.
I know, like basically everybody did. Ted Williams, Bob Feller. Yep, no, I understand.
He struck out 30 times, 35 times a year.
Yep.
The guy could run bases. I never seen anybody go from first to second when the outfielder just goes and fields the ball. What a great center fielder.
George, the only problem with DiMaggio is that, let's be honest, even though he's your guy, he was kind of a jerk. Georgie, you know?
Yeah.
Kind of a jerk.
Yeah, but we didn't know it at the time until after he retired.
That's true. Hey, God bless you. Thanks for making that call, George.
Yeah,
thank you very
George.
Much, buddy.
I'm looking
thank
at
you.
You got
I'm
it.
I'm looking
God
at the
you,
box
sir.
Score.
I like Georgie.
I'm looking at the box score. It's 1950.
Okay.
March 14th, 1950. Kentucky versus CCNY head coach.
Where was the game?
Adolph
was it at the Garden?
Rupp.
Oh, I was out there. That's right.
In New York, at New York, NIT. This is the
NIT. It was here.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
And Nate Holman is the head coach of CCNY. Irwin Dambrot, 20 points. Ed Warner, 26 points. Ed Roman, 17 points. The father of a friend of mine, Norm Major, he had 6. Scott Major is my friend. He told me these stories about this team, the CCNY team. They were just dominant. A halftime score, 45-20.
Oof. You imagine Rupp stewing in the locker
Final
room?
Final score, 89-50.
Oh, they laid it on him. They were probably pressing him with like 13 seconds to go.
And Kentucky
suck on
was,
that, Rupp.
Was third in the AP.
Who was number 2 and 1? Do you know?
I don't know, but it's just giving the ranks at the rankings. Kentucky third in the AP, CCNY unranked.
Wow!
So just goes to show you.
I mean, what I know about the history and the scandal and their presence in the city, but like, what kind of crowds do they get to go? I don't think the Garden was their
it
home.
It happened last night at Madison Square Garden, where 18,000 fans.
But I mean, when they had a game non-tournament, non-sanctioned, like. What are their league games? Were they playing on CCNY's campus?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know. It wasn't the Garden. It was St. John's.
Yeah. And this, by the way, this wasn't the final. This was the this was the quarterfinal.
Okay. Then they went on to the. Do you have beyond that or no?
No. I'm just looking at the game. No. This is This was a dominant game. I heard a lot about this from Scott.
Amazing. Oh yeah, yeah.
This team was just. They were amazing. Yeah. They were dominant.
And that's what Patino's going to be doing to people soon. Going to be beating Kentucky by 30. How's that taste? Yeah, get back in your hole, Wildcats. Oh, he's going to destroy people. He's already going to see the kid at Stepanak today. Mm-hmm. Five-star player. Top 10 player in the country.
Yeah.
You already offered somebody else. I'm forgetting the kid's name from California. Number 7 player in the country. Now, he ain't going for these little minnows. He's going for the big ones. It's going to be fun. Dolph, do you remember, especially being Jewish and I would think maybe on some level hearing stories about CCNY, which had a lot of Jewish players, was that a part
black
of,
and Jewish players?
Yeah, correct. Absolutely. No question, black, but a lot of Jewish players. Did you hear those stories growing up or no?
No.
Not at all. Interesting. Good talk, Dolph.
Jesus. I'm trying to find that where they played. I can't see where they played.
Oh, where they played their regular season games?
Yeah.
Last night, before a sparse crowd of 37 people,
but they were
CCNY,
great. But they were great. So I'm assuming they.
But so was St. John's. So that was the higher profile. So was.
Oh yeah, I hear you.
I don't know. Fordham was great in the 50s, but Fordham's profile was bigger. And who else would have been bigger? At least downstate. Forget about Syracuse; they weren't even that big back then. But like NYU, NYU was big back then. You know?
We'll find out. Maybe Dolph will tell us tomorrow.
Hey, good news for you.
I see just the Garden right now.
Gotcha. We are not out of touch, but we are out of time. Maybe I'm going to end every show with that.
Well, stop.
What do you think? See you tomorrow, homie.
See you, dude.
Tomorrow, a week away from the start of the baseball season. We want baseball. We want baseball. Let's go. Gardner Roberts coming up next. Enjoy what remains of your Wednesday. Keep it here all day on The Fan. And me and Teague will be back right in the saddle here tomorrow at 10. Until then, have a great one. Peace. Later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.